Thank you, Wes. I'm going to have to admit this is not actually, that is the title of my presentation. What is up here is actually the title of the presentation I gave on this topic 2 years ago. There we go, an update on cottonseed fracture resistance studies. So my co-author on this is Chris DeLome, and we've been a little bit concerned about seed quality for a number of years, and I got into it from kind of a different orientation. And while that was happening, we started to hear about all the generous concerns about small seed and weak seed, and so we've kind of made a 90-degree turn and started to sort of focus on this issue quite a bit. And so what I want to talk today is about our studies on trying to understand seed hardness, seed durability, and we're going to do that by using an Enstron to study the fracture resistance of cottonseed and the amount of force it takes to rupture a cottonseed. We are still very much trying to learn about this system. So we have an Enstron in our fiber testing lab, and you can see that on the left. And it happened sitting in the corner of the lab, we had an adapter that allows us to convert that tensile force, or that pulling force, into a compressive force. And if you can see the small red oval there, we have two aluminum cylinders mounted there, and in between that oval we put a little cotton seed. So we've got this huge apparatus that we're using to test the force it takes to compress a cotton seed. And we do these experiments in one of two orientations. We can either compress them vertically or horizontally, and I'll show you some data from both of those. And I'll just mention Kirk and McLeod, who were the first to do this kind of study on cottonseed back in 1967, and really the only effect they looked at is they varied the moisture content in the seed and showed how that affected the fracture resistance. And as you would expect, if the seed gets drier, it gets tougher as well, and the force it takes to break the seed becomes greater. And we've seen that as well. This is an example of the kind of data you get from this kind of experiment. So it's basically a stress-strain curve, or a compressive difference, compressive load kind of curve. And when we're cracking horizontally, as you start to squeeze the seed and the extension becomes longer, the compression becomes longer, then the load on the seed increases. And it does so in almost an elastic fashion. It's almost at a constant rate. And then you get to a point where there's a sudden crack in the seed and the load goes down and the experiment ends at that point. When you're cracking seed vertically, you often see that. There's a couple of examples of the same kind of a trend there, but you also see a different pattern as well. In some seed, we see that there's a more rounded topping of that force curve peak. And we think what's happening there is a couple of things. One, it seems that the fibers of the seed are kind of oriented along the vertical direction, and that we're getting some cracking along that direction and then some splaying of the seed, but such that there's still some significant compressive force there. Or we're having on the micropylar end, that's the narrow end of the seed, some crumpling there that the rest of the seed is staying intact, and you might expect that narrow end of the seed is a little bit thinner. And so we think those are the effects, but regardless of the reasons why, we always take the peak in this curve as the maximum compressive load. So we get three pieces of information. We get that maximum load, we get the maximum extension where the rupture occurs, and then if you integrate the area under that curve, you actually get a measure of the energy it took to rupture those seed. Now, it turns out if you take those three measurements and you look at correlations between them, those three things correlate fairly well. So for today's purpose, I'm only going to be talking about maximum load. So I mentioned 2 years ago we started looking at this, and I did a presentation, and we looked at the variation of the results from an individual sample seed to seed, and I'll show you a little example of that. We looked at the horizontal orientation versus the vertical orientation. We studied again seed moisture and, more importantly, environmental humidity, because we were seeing initially some quite variable results, and we learned fairly quickly that basically you have to condition your seed to get representative results or consistent results out of this kind of a test. So since we have a fiber testing lab that's controlled at 72 degrees C and 65% relative humidity, well, that was very convenient for us. So that's where all of these experiments you're going to see today have been conditioned. We also looked at the effect of acid delinting. Acid delinting has essentially no effect on the hardness of the seed. We kind of suspected there might be a little bit of degradation, but for the duration of, few minute duration of acid delinting, doesn't seem to have much of an effect. And then we also took 30 or 40 samples, and just to get a feel for the kind of variation that you would expect to see in this kind of measurement, and I'll show you a little of that data as well. So this is the variation of that you expect to see within a seed sample. So this is Deltapine 1321 cottonseed. We've compressed 100 seed in the vertical orientation. We've compressed 100 seed in the horizontal orientation. And you can see that within a seed sample, you get quite different loads. And so, for example, in the vertical compression, you'll have seed crack at 40 newtons. You'll have seed crack at 160 newtons. And so it's not whether or not they're weak seed. It's really a question of how many weak seed there are in any given individual sample. It happens that this particular example, this is a pretty hard seed. Average of 114 newton is a pretty high value for us. And this is an example of that first set of samples that we looked at. And the table is oriented by the maximum load in the vertical direction. And you can see that the forces are 105 newtons down to about 64 newtons. So there's a considerable variation of this from seed sample to seed sample. In the horizontal orientation, you get a similar thing where the variation is about 65 newtons down to about 45 newtons. And so cracking in the horizontal orientation is the weaker orientation. And so some of the work we do, we focus just on that horizontal orientation, thinking that the seed can only be as strong as its weakest dimension. Now, this particular data set, there were a number of elements about it that we wanted to explore further. And so that's the data that I'm going to, the new data that I'm going to show you today. And one of those, one of the things that we were interested in, there's a Deltapine 340 in there, which is the one Pima variety in this thing. Now, it had a maximum load in the vertical of 93 newtons, which was toward the top of the end range, but it wasn't the highest. But in the horizontal orientation, the weak orientation, it was quite clearly the highest of the set we studied. So this kind of agreed with what I was thinking about Barbadense seed being harder than Hirsutum seed, and people I've asked have all kind of agreed with that assessment. But it is quite different than some early work that was done by Sullivan in the literature, who actually says that Hirsutum seed are stronger than Barbadense seed. So that's one issue that we wanted to look at a little more carefully. The second issue that you can't see here is that these are all different varieties, and they were grown at different locations, so you can't really make any assessment about varietal differences from this data. But we did have, among this 38 samples, many of which you're not seeing on this slide, the same variety that was grown in different locations, and we were seeing quite different results. And that suggested that there's a large environmental component for this particular seed property. And so that's a second area that we want to explore. And then the third one has to do with these samples that are labeled FSC, fragile seed coat samples. And this was a sample that Carlos sent us that he knew when he ginned it resulted in a lot of seed coat neps in the fibers and resulted in a lot of seed damage. And so when we did this test and we threw this in here, we were glad to see that, and in fact, they were the weakest seed when we were cracking in the vertical direction. We were not happy to see that they were not the weakest seed when we were cracking in the weak dimension, the horizontal dimension. And you can see spread through this list, there are three or four things that are down on the order of 48 newtons, 45 newtons, kind of, the same value as that fragile seed coat section. Now, that does not mean that I can conclude at this point that because you're at a 40 level, you're necessarily going to have problems ginning, but it is something to be concerned about at this point. And this relates to the third part of the study, which we've just started now, where we're trying to collect samples from gins where they're having problems. We want to look at the seed that are problems. Now, you're probably selling seed to oil processors, and they want your good seed, and your dairymen want your good seed. Mike wants your bad seed. So when you have examples of where you're not, you're having problems in the ginning, I would appreciate a phone call. I'd like to take a look at those seed and do some testing on that. So I've mentioned these three experiments. I've mentioned the paper by Sullivan that actually says that Hirsutum seed are harder than Barbadense seed. So to do this, I've mentioned that environment's important. So I need to find a selection of Barbadense and Hirsutum seed that have been grown in the same environment. And it turns out in the National Cotton Variety Trials, there's one location that does that. That's Five Points, California. And so we contacted Bob Huttmacher, who was very generous to provide us seed from both his Harsudim and his Barbadense line for 2 years from the Five Points location. And what you're seeing on this figure is actually something called a box whisker plot. And you should not read those things that look like error bars as standard deviations. They're not. That's the full range of the data that we're looking at. And you can see that most of the Barbadense are cracking harder in both the vertical orientation and the horizontal orientation. And if you do an ANOVA on that, it's clearly going to come up that the Barbadense is, as a class, is harder than the Hirsutum seed. And if you look at 2018, you get kind of the same thing. We had a few more varieties in each class in this case, and so the data are a little bit longer, but again, the statistics come out that the Barbadense are harder than the Hirsutum. Now, on a third experiment along these lines, there was another way to get Barbadense and Hirsutum grown in the same location, and that was to put them in the greenhouse. The problem with that particular experiment is we can only put single plants in, so now you've also got the variation plant to plant, where with the five-point data, you have the averaging of 40 or 50 plants in a row, and so you see a bit more variation in the data. But from the first two columns in each of those two halves of the plot, you see that the Barbadense are, on average, quite a bit harder than the Hirsutum. I haven't done the statistics on this yet, so I'm not sure what the final result of that is. But since we're only using single plants, we could also throw a few of Aurium and a few of Basium in there to see how the old world species did as well. And I had a method to that. There's a general thought, and if you look at that Delta Pine 1321 data, there is a pretty solid correlation between that range in seed hardness and the size of the seed. As the seed gets smaller within a sample, then they tend to get weaker. Well, that Arboreum and that Herbaceum, those guys are about half the size of a Hirsutum and a Barbadense, but yet clearly they are very, very hard seed. So that correlation tends to go away the minute you start introducing differences in varieties, the minute you start introducing differences in environments, and certainly when you start introducing a different species here. I'll turn now and talk a little bit about a G by E study that we're looking at, because we think environment is fairly important for this particular property. So for this, we've been getting seed from the regional high-quality national cotton variety trials that are produced across the country, and of course those are a mixture of private breeders and commercial cultivars. Typically, in this study, in the national cotton variety trials, there's 16 to 20 22 genotypes planted each year, duplicate field plots, but the cultivars can vary year to year in this case. So we've collected data now from 2016, four environments. 2017, we were only able to get one environment. We did very well last year at 2018 and had nine environments, and so far this year we've got three seed environments, and I'm hoping that we'll get over 20 environments by the time we conclude this study. And here's the summary of that result. Again, these are not error bars. This is the range of data. And you can see that because the range of data is large, there must be a considerable genetic component to this particular property for cottonseed. But you can also see that those different environments, it's not a straight band across the belt. Some are definitely stronger than others, and there are certain environments that have performed fairly weakly in this regard. There is a red band there. The red band corresponds to that compression range that we're kind of worried about, and you can see that every environment has at least a few genotypes that fall below that 49 to 44 value. So it looks like there's some fairly weak seed in and among this set. And again, these are a lot of commercial cultivars in this part of the National Cotton Variety Trials. And then see some of these environments, a lot of the seed are below that 44 to 49 level. So there is a strong environmental component to this as well. Now, what was special about Florence in 2016? Hurricane Matthew came through the East Coast in the fall of that year, and they had a tremendous amount of rainfall. And then in 2018, I'm not making this up, Hurricane Florence came through Florence, South Carolina, and dumped a lot of rain on them that year. And then from my talk with Wayne Smith in College Station, which had the lowest, fracture resistance of any of the samples we changed, he told me that he had a very difficult time getting in the field to even get the seed out. So high moisture towards the end of the year is clearly a factor, we think, in this. I'm very anxious to look at the 2019 data because Todd Campbell tells me Florence had much better weather conditions this year in the fall, and so I'm hoping that those numbers will pop back up above that red line this year for that data. But we think we're close to concluding this study. The last study I've already kind of mentioned, I'm in trouble, so I'll just go on. I'll just say that you see the same results here. There were three national standards among those varieties. They're planted for several years, 3 or 4 years anyway. There were three that were common and all those, and you see the same basic trends. And they dropped out. They were lower in College Station and Florence as well. So my problem ginning study, I've got 8 gins that have agreed to help me with this, but at this point I only have 2 samples. And the particular problem that they associated with these samples is that they were losing seed in the lint cleaner. So you imagine you immediately start to worry about seed index size. And I looked at the bag of the seed and I thought, sure enough, these are small seed. But I was a little surprised that the seed index was about 8.9 to 9 on those samples. So it's not that small. And certainly we've all seen seed that are much smaller than that. So that to me is a bit of a concern. Now we've also done the compressive studies on these things, and in the horizontal direction, the compressive loads were 62 and 57, no place near that 40 to 45 to 49 limit. So the strength of these seeds were fine. There was no problem there. But I'm hoping in the next year or two that we are going to have a large population of problem seed to kind of get a handle on what seed sizes are causing problems and what seed hardnesses are causing problems. So that's kind of the goal. That's kind of where we're going. And plea for help. I did that this morning. If you've got problem seed, I'd love to hear from you. And then many thanks, Roji, Ann, and Janine have all been helping with the Instron work. We try to keep the Instron cracking seed, 40 hours a week if we can. I push them harder, but they tell me I can't do that. Debbie Boykin is our area statistician, so she's helped me with a bunch of the statistics. And then Carlos, Greg, Rick, Ed helped source some of the original seed that went into the earlier study, and then there are a large number of people that have helped with some of this latter seed from the National Cotton Variety Trials. And with that, I'll stop and say thank you.